Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to our passage in Acts chapter 18 as we continue in our series related to Paul's missionary journey, his third missionary journey. And I'm going to take you back to the screen here for just a moment because I want to remind you of where he went on this third missionary journey. He followed a pattern that was very similar to the second missionary journey. His first missionary journey left from Antioch and went all the way around, came back around, and then instead of looping back and going back, he came across here and then worked his way back to Antioch on the second missionary journey. As you see here, he visits all the churches, including his own hometown of Tarsus. He makes his way across over to Galatia, and then makes his way all the way over to Ephesus, where we're going to be today, and that's located right here in Asia Minor. He will from there go up through some of these churches that you're familiar with from the book of Revelation, the seven churches of Revelation. Some of those were planted by the Apostle Paul, and we'll make our way up through all the way over to Macedonia into Greece. He comes right back and heads back again and makes his way all the way back to Tyre and then eventually to Jerusalem, where he is arrested and is taken back. And so I take you there today. We're going to be in Ephesus in Asia Minor. This is such an important city in the Bible. You remember that Paul sent Timothy to be the pastor at Ephesus. You'll find that the first church mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 is the church at Ephesus. So it figures very strongly in the scriptures. And I want us to read again verses 23 through 28 of this particular passage as we consider the beginning of the third missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. Verse 23, "And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly," or more completely. "And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace." Now that's an important phrase there, because he's moved now from a Jewish mentality to a gospel mentality. And that's very, very important. "For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures," what? "That Jesus was Christ." Jesus was Christos, Messiah, the one, the divine one sent from God. That's important. We need to understand it, because that's the gospel. That's the complete gospel. Jesus is the Messiah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. I thank you for the testimony of the beginning of this third missionary trip of the Apostle Paul and the centrality of the church there at Ephesus, which would become a lighthouse for that region of the world in Asia Minor. But I thank you for the people that are included in the writ of Scripture that had such an impact that sent others out to carry forth your Word. Lord, I pray that we might make disciples. We have our children. We have those that we know at church. Lord, there are people we need to be praying for, that they would be open and receptive to accepting the call to be a faithful witness for Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts today as we consider the truths that are found here. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We spent a lot of time last week talking about verse 23 and the purpose of the third missionary journey. And it's found in this word, strengthening. strengthening all the disciples. Disciples were followers of Christ. And Paul desired to strengthen them. Episterizo is the Greek word there. And it means to build, to make stronger. And I gave you this definition that I hope will ring in your heart about this word, episterizo. It indicates a process of strengthening by extending the understanding that precedes as it supports what must follow. And what you have is a growth in grace and knowledge demonstrated in this word strengthening. To build upon the foundation, to strengthen that, and to continue as the first floor is built, to strengthen it so that the next floor can be built upon that and strengthen it so the roof can be put upon it. You cannot have a successful structure if the middle story is too weak, or the third story is too weak, or the foundation is too weak. Paul desired on this third missionary journey to visit those disciples that God had wonderfully saved, to encourage them by strengthening them. Now, how? The question comes to my mind, how are people strengthened? How are people strengthened? Now, with the physical body, you work. You work. That's how you strengthen your body. Working. You obviously cannot carry a barbell around with you all day long. But God has created labor as a way of strengthening your body. But when it comes to the Christian life, how are you strengthened? It's the work of the Holy Spirit of God in conjunction with this book right here, the Word of God. That strengthening in grace of Jesus Christ, that strengthening in the knowledge of Jesus Christ is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said He would do. Jesus says when the Comforter comes, He will proclaim Me. He will exalt Me. And the Holy Spirit seeks to strengthen you this morning. Amen. He wants you to be a strong Christian. He wants you to grow in grace. He wants you to grow in knowledge. But that growth is not just on Sunday, dear people. That growth takes place tomorrow when you wake up and throughout the day. You need to be growing in the knowledge of this Word. Do not ignore this book tomorrow. Do not ignore this book on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and on Sunday. Do not let the Bible be something that sits up on your dash in your vehicle and curls up in the sun. This needs to be a book that you spend time in so that episterizo takes place, the strengthening, the building upon what's already been learned to build and to make something strong on top of that foundation and then continue to build and make that floor strong as well to support the Christian life. That's what Paul wanted to do. That's what his third missionary trip was all about, visiting those churches, visiting those people. And isn't it interesting that on the third missionary journey, who is mentioned? People. People are mentioned by name. Now, we've learned a lot of different names of people. We learned about Timothy. We learned about Titus. We've learned about Lydia. We've learned about several other individuals from the previous missionary church. But on this third one, immediately, we're looking at people that have been saved and are growing. They're growing. And there's one man that's mentioned here, Apollos, who is a man who came to Ephesus. He was from Alexandria, Egypt. He had learned what he knew about Jesus Christ from the testimony of John and his disciples. He was familiar with John's baptism. Perhaps, I don't know, maybe he had been baptized by John. Maybe he had made a trip to Jerusalem at some time in the past. We don't know. But his information, his knowledge was incomplete. He was a man of God. I disagree with those who say that he was not a believer until he came to see Apollos and that. I believe he was a believer. He was preaching Christ. But there were elements that he did not understand in his proclamation. He needed epistorizo. He needed that. As a strong, eloquent preacher of the Word of God, he needed strengthening. There is no saint on this earth that doesn't need epistorizo. Are you listening to me? Well, you just don't understand. I've been a believer for 50 years. I've known Christ for 50 years. I know everything there is to know. No, you don't. No, you don't. There is so much to learn, and the reason that we don't is because we forget so much. Our minds are just not that retentive. We have to be constantly. How many can raise your hand and say when you open the Bible, you hear something that you just didn't remember or forgot or something that comes fresh to your mind? You know, I was reading the book of Ruth this week in preparation for my Mother's Day message next week. And something hit me that I had never thought about in regard to the book of Ruth, and I'm going to share that next week. And it's just simple. In order to be a good mother, a great mother, you got to be a great daughter. Ruth didn't have much of a mother-in-law. She was bitter. She was angry. And her mother-in-law said, "Don't follow me. Don't come with me." And you know what Ruth did? "Don't tell me not to come. I'm going to come, and your God's going to be my God." We're going to look at elements of that. But it was just reading through the book of Ruth, I just came, and the Lord just impressed upon me, she became a great daughter and encouraged her mother-in-law to be a great mother-in-law. It works both ways, dear folks. It's not just about me finding somebody that's a good mother and then whine about it if she's not a good mother and talk about how challenged I am because I don't have a good mother. She had left her family behind in Moab, remember? She attached herself, we're told, to Naomi. And she became a great daughter. And that in turn helped Naomi. Because Naomi at the very end says, "I'm no longer bitter. I'm no longer bitter, for God hath given a son." And by the way, Ruth stands in the line of our Messiah, Jesus Christ. We're going to deal with that. There's always something fresh in the Word of God, but you got to be in the book. Amen? Well, I get all my teaching on Sunday. Then I feel very, very sorry for you. I feel very, very sorry for you. And you know why? Because this book works on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday in teaching and watering and feeding and instructing. Amen? If you don't take this book and open it and study and bring it to yourself, you're not feeding your soul. You got to go to the Good Shepherd. You got to go to the Good Shepherd. You know, the sheep depend on the shepherd to take them to the pasture. Amen? They don't do their own thing. Wolves are out there. We need the shepherd with us. We need the shepherd with us. The Bible says that he says he will take us in and out and find green pasture. Feed your soul, saint, every day. Every day, feed your soul. And you'll grow in grace and you'll grow in knowledge because the Good Shepherd is taking you to the pasture. The Good Shepherd is leading you beside the still waters. Amen? That's what living the Christian life is all about. Here's Apollos. He's a good man. He's an eloquent man. He's an eloquent preacher of the Word of God. The Bible says that here in our passage of Scripture. Notice this, please. "This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto themselves and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly, more completely. Did Apollos know everything that was needed to be known? No, he didn't. Was that his fault? No. He only knew what he had been taught. Now that tells me something. A lot of us have grown up with teaching, right? And we've had all kinds of different backgrounds in teaching. Some of us have had to put aside things that we learned that were not correct. Some of you could raise your hand right now. I've had to put some things aside that just were not correct. I was speaking to a man this week that was telling me all the baggage that he had to leave beside to come to Jesus Christ. He had grown up in Seventh-day Adventism. And he was telling me, he said, I had to leave a bunch of stuff behind that I had been taught as a child growing up. And I was able to, because of the good understanding of the Word of God, I was able to let go and take a hold of what was true. That's what Paul was about. That's what Apollos and Aquila and Priscilla were all about. Apollos did not have a complete understanding, but whenever he got the new understanding, what did he do? I'm not accepting that. That's not what I learned in the past. Did he do that? No. You know, we have to humble ourselves before under the mighty hand of God. There are some things that maybe we were given that's just off. Off in our lives. And we don't appreciate things. And we find out by what's shared here, this element of what was missing. Did you see it in this passage of Scripture? They explained to him more perfectly the way of God. And what did he do? He goes out and preaches what he's just learned. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible says, and he went and was disposed to pass into Achaia. Now, we have no record of the calling of Apollos. Does that mean he wasn't called? You know, we hear this expression that some people were sent and some people just got up and went, you know. Well, you know what? I believe that God ordains people all around the world that may not have had an official sending forth because there wasn't anybody to send them forth. God had redeemed Apollos. God had called Apollos, and there wasn't any apostles around there to do that. And he went, and so he goes to Achaia. And what do the dear saints do in Ephesus? The leaders of the church get behind him and they send a letter with him. Isn't that wonderful? They sent a letter with him. What was that doing for Apollos? Episterizo. Strengthening. Strengthening him. This man understands. This man has grown in his understanding. This man needs our encouragement to go with the gospel. So he goes to Achaia and he has a letter in his hand. And it was sent to encourage the people that would read that letter, listen to this man. He's preaching something. And what was he preaching? Notice this, please. Verse 28. For he mightily convinced the Jews. Now, at this particular time, where has Paul shifted his ministry? Gentiles. Gentile men. He still goes every once in a while to the synagogue, but now he's going and he's preaching almost exclusively on this third missionary journey to Gentiles. But here's a man, Apollos, he's going right at the Jews. He's evangelizing the Jews. Yeah, but they're not going to listen to him. They still need to be evangelized, amen? There's a lot of people that don't listen. There's a lot of people that won't have anything to do with the gospel, but they still need to hear it. And they need to hear it from us. Here's Apollos, and what does he do? He goes to the Jews and mightily convinced them, and that publicly. He wasn't a secret disciple of Jesus. He was a man that was willing to get out and publicly take on false teaching. False teaching. What did they believe? What did the Jews believe? They believed First of all, we're ancestors of Abraham. We're the chosen. We have the blood of Abraham flowing through our veins. We're the people of God. Not only that, God gave us the law and we keep the law. That was the struggle. When Paul came in there and was preaching grace to them, they didn't want anything to do. This man's preaching error. He's preaching error. No, he was preaching the truth. Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law in every jot and tittle. He has fulfilled the law. You and I can't keep the law. And that's what he was telling the Jews. You can't keep the law. Do you realize that even to this very day, that there are Gentiles trying to keep the law to somehow earn credits with God? That's not how it works, folks. It is complete trust in the message of the gospel of the grace of God. Grace is forever enthroned in this age. You can't keep the law. I can't keep the law. If I offend in one, I've done what? I've offended the whole thing. So, Jesus comes. Amen? He goes to that cross. He satisfies the Father. He makes propitiation. He satisfies the wrath of the Father. He satisfies every jot and tittle of the law. He completes that and He offers that righteousness. He offers that righteousness freely to all who will receive Him. So Apollos goes with that message, and it's clarified here what that message was. Showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. In verse 27, we find there, He helped them which had believed through what? Not the law. Not through genetics, but by grace. Jesus was the Christ. And what's the sticking point today? Jim Shetler, who used to pastor at the campus church. His father was a missionary to the Jews and the kibbutzes of North Israel. I met him at our gym. He had come to watch his grandkids play ball up here. We played PCC, Pensacola Christian Academy. I sat with him. We talked the entire game. And he said the most difficult people on the entire planet to minister to are not the Muslims, it's the Jews. He said, I've spent 40 years in a kibbutz, three of them, that he had spent preaching, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Immediately the wall came up. He's not the Christ. He died. He's dead. Our Messiah is not dead. Oh no, He's not dead. He's risen. Oh, we can't believe that. Sadducees. Yeah. Sadducees rejected the possibility of righteousness. Oh, they had such power. Holding down, suppressing the truth of Jesus Christ. And Apollos, once he got it, he goes out to Achaia and he preaches that Jesus is the Messiah to them. Now what have we just witnessed in this passage of Scripture? What have we just witnessed? Here's a man that comes to Ephesus, doesn't know who the Apostle Paul is, doesn't know who Aquila and Priscilla are. He just comes to that church and he starts preaching in the local synagogue. And Aquila and Priscilla, they come up and they hear him preaching. They're astounded. More than likely, the record that's given to us here by Luke was given to Luke by Aquila and Priscilla about what they heard from this man. And they loved him and they took him aside and they explained more clearly the understandings concerning Christ. And he took that and he ran with it. Amen? The message of grace. The message that Jesus is the Christ. He took that into Achaia. What do we find here? We find another missionary. We find another missionary. It's not just the Apostle Paul. It's not just Barnabas and Mark. It's not just Paul and Silas. It's not just Timothy and this handful of people. Now we're seeing the numbers increase and people are coming to clearer understanding. They don't actually hold a copy of the Word in their hands, the New Testament, but they've got it in their ears and they've got it in their hearts. I mentioned this last week. There are over 3,600 languages right now that still do not have a written copy of this Word. You know how they learn about Christ? speaking it orally. Oh, how we need to understand and know that God had His people. God called Apollos. God put him in the company of two people that loved him and said, we need to share with you some things that have happened since you've been away. Brought him up to speed, and what does he do with it? He grabs a hold of it with all of his heart, and he takes it to Achaia, and he becomes a missionary there. He eventually ends up in Corinth. There in Corinth, we read about him. Dr. Watt's been talking about how the church became divisive because, boy, Apollos is a powerful preacher. I'm of Apollos. Another group, I'm of Paul. I'm of Jesus. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Peter. Instead of rooting their hearts in the Word of God and in the grace of God. This, folks, is the very beginning of that third missionary journey that will take us all the way through chapter 18, take us into chapter 19, take us through some very difficult challenges. Paul is going to have to go through a shipwreck. Paul's going to have to be arrested. Paul's going to be taken back to Rome where he's going to have to stand trial. Paul will be released for a short time, but eventually ends right back up in prison again, and there he's executed. Not an easy road. Amen. Not an easy road. I thought this was all about, God's just going to work everything out. Oh, He does. To His glory and to His praise and to His adoration. Your suffering, my suffering, may be for the glory of Christ. Is that not a privilege? Is that not a privilege? Paul suffered greatly as God's apostle. God put a thorn in his flesh. He asked him three times, Lord, take it away. And what did God say? My grace is sufficient. Keep on going. My grace is sufficient. I'll take care of you. That same grace that's ministered in the gospel is the grace by which we live by. I want us to think for just a moment as I wrap up this message. I want you to think for just a moment. What am I doing to encourage other believers? What am I doing? How am I using social media to encourage other believers? Is it just something where you get on there and rant and whine? Or is there a legitimacy to your postings that point to Christ? I appreciate people that point scripture verses out. Something that was a blessing in their life. That's an encouragement to me. But when I have to sit there and listening to people whining about this and whining about that and all that kind of stuff, that's not encouraging. In the least, it's not encouraging. And sometimes it's believers. You and I have been given a wonderful privilege, amen? We are ministers of the reconciliation. God's chosen us to be ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador do? Well, what did Apollos do? He was an ambassador. He went to Achaia and he told them about Jesus. He confronted the Jewish concepts about the Messiah and he showed them Jesus is the Christ. Aquila and Priscilla, Jesus is the Christ. The Apostle Paul and Timothy and Titus and go down all the people that are mentioned on the previous act, preaching Jesus Christ. Are you encouraging other saints? There are a lot of other people out here in this world that are believers in Christ that need to be encouraged and need to be asked, hey, are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? To be concerned, to know, and then when you know a believer is there, to encourage them, to let them know, let's grow together in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the spirit that we see in Apollos on this third missionary journey that we're introduced to. And by the way, Apollos is mentioned 10 times in the New Testament. 10 times. He's kind of one of those men that's kind of under the surface, but was having an impact with local believers. Impact level. Oh, he didn't make it to the notoriety of the Apostle Paul, but that's not the point. God didn't put us here so we could be rock stars for Christ. He put us here that we might be a witness to His glorious grace. And that means just one-on-one talking with people. One-on-one, picking up that phone and encouraging that other believer in Christ. Who did you encourage this week? Epistorizo. Who did you help strengthen and cause them to be strengthened as they build their lives on Christ? And as Christ works in their hearts and the Holy Spirit of God works out, what did you do to encourage this past week? We got a brand new week. It started today. Midnight. Brand new day started. We can be an encourager. We can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Got to feed your soul. Got to feed your soul. It's not my job to just feed your soul all the time. It's the Holy Spirit's job, with you and your Bible open, to be fed and to grow each and every day. Take that responsibility. Amen? Take that responsibility. Father in heaven, I'm so thankful for Jesus Christ, our Savior, today. I am so thankful that Jesus is the Christ. He's the promised one. He's the anointed one. He is the only one that can save sinners. He was the only one that could atone for sin. He is the only one that could satisfy the Father. He is the only one that can save sinners today. What a glorious message. What are we doing to get that message out? I thank you, dear Father, for Apollos and Aquila and Priscilla, who are the focus of these verses. Paul's not even mentioned. What an encouragement it is to find others stepping up, a husband and wife team stepping up to help a man who was very eloquent, a man who had a tremendous burden, who wanted to see his people, the Jews, believe. And they helped to instruct him and encourage him. And he took that message and he went to another location to proclaim that word. Lord, would you raise up some folks like that from this people? Would you raise us up to be faithful encouragers of other saints? It's easy to criticize. It's easy to make fun. It's easy to see somebody that we don't particularly like and we make fun of them instead of being a helper and encouragement to them. Lord, convict us of that sin of pride and arrogance. Help us to be like Apollos and Aquila and Priscilla, desirous to encourage and strengthen, and like Paul, who on this journey sought to be a source of epistorizo, that building and making better, building upon the knowledge that was given and building and making it stronger for your honor and for your glory. Father, work in our hearts today in a very powerful way. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.